Don't get in a hurry, son. What's your hurry? Look, you just got here. I've been waiting all day to get you here. Spend some time with me. And also, try not to make your prayer time your laundry list of things. He's glad to hear it. He really is. He's glad to hear it. He'll let you get it out, and he'll honor those things. He will. But try when you go into your prayer time to actually, because prayer is talking to God. So talking is a conversation. And a lot of times we think it's one-sided. I get in my prayer closet. Lord, here's the things that I need. Okay, my prayer time is done. And he's like, I never even had a chance to talk. You did all the talking. I thought we were going to have a conversation. And we never give him time to talk, and we never allow him. And then a lot of times we wonder, well, God, I don't know what he's doing. He's not talking. He's not coming. You know, he's not talking to me. I'm doing this. And God's like, well, you're never listening. I'm trying to talk all the time. It's you who's not giving me the time to listen. So we need to learn how to do this, especially in this day and age. And I know it's a lot, especially for you teenagers. I know it's hard for the younger kids. It's hard. It is hard to put that thing down, man, because that thing rules your life. And if you can do that, that's why a lot of, we started our fast today, by the way. Everybody good on day one? We're all good on day one, right? Be like, come in day 20 and see how I'm doing. Let's see how we're doing. That's why a lot of people fast technology or fast TV or fast any kind of technology. Because when you unplug and you shut off, boy, you start to really see how much of your time was tied into that thing. Because all of a sudden you got a lot of free time on your hand. You're like, okay, so now what? So, well, I talked to my wife for 5 whole minutes. Now what? I ate dinner. That took 50. Okay, now what? Because I don't go to bed for another 4 hours. I mean, I'm serious. Because all of that time is eaten up with TV, phone, technology, computer, emails, you know? And then you go to bed with all that fried in your brain, you know, inundated with all that stuff going on. You probably don't get a good sleep because you're staring at that thing right before you go to bed. I know the kids do. And then you try to go to bed, you know, by cutting that off and going to bed, and your brain is still connected all over the place. You know, it's just hard. It's just hard. So a lot of people do technology and get off of that and just unplug for that long time. And then the time that you usually be in technology, you really just get your Bible, get in the Word. And we talked about it today at our pastor's meeting. He said his son did that and said all of a sudden, and he said, and he's not used to this because he's a good fundamental Baptist. He doesn't fast and he doesn't do these things. He said it was awesome. And he said, and he did, he's doing a fast. And all of a sudden God starts talking to him. And he calls him up and he says, Dad, I don't know what's going on, but I think God's talking to me. Okay, well, that's good. But you'd be surprised when we can get in that waiting posture to learn to wait, and how much he has been waiting for us to understand that, to say, finally, I got you listening, son. And now I can unload some deep things of God that I want to unload. I've been wanting to talk to you so long about that. I never had you listening. Now you're listening. Now let me talk to you and tell you what I got for you. And it's just a beautiful thing. And it just, hopefully it'll keep us off of the technology and we won't get so bad on that. But that is one of the things I wanted to talk to you tonight. Angie did so well on Sunday about if you fail to plan, then you're planning to fail. And that's not who we are. We are a people who understands what it means to plan. And then she laid out very well who we are as a people. Who we are, the people that come into this building, what our hearts are about, what we're about, and the things that we're going after and have been for quite some time now. And she laid those out very well. And because we have laid some good foundational things that I think the Lord is, and not that it wasn't before, but it's just different. We're just moving in a different direction, and we need some different things. We need some foundational things to lay that foundation for where we're going, so we don't fall, we don't crack, we don't do anything, you know. So tonight, I know just the Lord is where he's taken us this year, and kind of piggybacking on some of the things that Angie said about why the Lord put some things on our heart and what that's going to look like. And I put it here, and we're going to let well, let me just read before I get to, I put, Angie did such a good job on Sunday speaking to who we are and where we're going. And the week prior, I spoke to the past year and some of the things God marked us with and how we're so graciously, y'all so graciously laid the foundation here. And Angie showed us now how we're going to build on that foundation. Okay, and we're going to build on that foundation. And we're going to let him build his church. You know, he builds his church. You know that, right? We don't do it. He does it. It's his church. He actually said, you are now Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church. I will build my church. This is 1 Corinthians 3:6. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, God brings the increase. We do the work, he blesses our work. We put in the time, we pay the price, he breathes on it and brings the increase. This is his church. I've said this time and time again, I am not trying to build a church. I am not. I'm trying to make disciples. I'm trying to make disciples of people in here. That's our job. That's our job as leadership here, is to get us ready. And that's why Angie does such a good job on Wednesdays, because it's kind of turned into our training and equipping night, to where she just really says, okay, kingdom, all right, body, let's go. We're going to train up. We're going to equip you up and get you ready to go around and really actually show what it looks like of what we learn inside these four walls, and not just say, okay, good meeting. See you next week. Because that's what's been going on for a long time. But we have to do our part. We got to plant, we water, and that's what we're going to do this year. Okay. The biggest plan to do that Angie spoke on this past Sunday, and one that I would say is probably contingent on all the other plans to work in our life, is the plan to spend time in his presence. That is the number one. And every other one are contingent on working on that right there. Because if you can spend time in his presence, then that is where all the other ones learn how you learn to do it. Because that's where he's laying the groundwork. That's where he's giving you the blueprints. That's where he's giving you the mysteries and the dreams and the visions. And he's whispering to you. And that's how you learn to do all the others. And the beholding, becoming principle in Scripture, we got marked with this past year, right? We got branded with that. Beholding, becoming. Beholding is the means to becoming. That we become what we behold. So you better believe we're going to be beholding him. And that's where we cut it off. That's where you see in Scripture time and time and time again that it was all about looking at him. Elijah Isaiah 6, where he looked and he saw God high and lifted up, and he hit the ground as dead. And God lets people see him like this just to let you know, once you look at me, it'll change your life. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. She chose the good thing. She's doing what's needed. This is the right thing. Sit and stare at me, and everything else will take care of it. And John in Revelation, John, when he let him look at him, looked at him, and he hit the ground as a dead man. Never saw you like this before. My goodness, what is going on? And John had to even literally walk over there and touch him and say, don't be afraid. This glory that you're seeing that's terrifying you is not here to hurt you. This glory is actually here for you, John. Get up. And that's what we want. We want to look at him, and we want to behold him to the point to where we know exactly who this God is. I know exactly what his heart wants. And that's how we move forward. Beholding, becoming. Amen. So just a preview of what we're moving into this year, and some things that we're adding to our schedule, and kind of why is, and just what we kind of touched on here tonight, was that waiting. Okay, we're going to add a waiting. So the first, and we're only going to do it once a month, because I'm not going to get us crazy with it, right? Because we'll probably end up at the end of the month, probably have two people in here. But it's the first Tuesday of every month. We're just going to come in here from 6 to 7, and we're going to do exactly what we just did for, and that was 10 minutes. How many of you sometimes, it felt like 30 minutes, you know, almost sometimes. It does for me sometimes. I'm not going to lie. So we're just going to come from 6 to 7, and we're going to wait. There's not going to be music. There's not going to be anything. It's just going to be us sitting in here waiting on the Lord. And then if somebody at 7 o'clock, if the Lord allows somebody to give or whatever they share, then we'll do that. And then we'll take that time to do that. But we're going to learn to wait. We're going to learn to hear him. And we're going to learn we're not going to move until he moves. And until then, we're going to be right here. We're going to sit here and wait and see what he does. So that's going to be Tuesdays, the first Tuesday of every month. Okay. Of course, we're continuing on with our Sunday night prayer, right? Services from 6 to 8, and that'll continue. And it's 2 hours, but it's come and go. Like, you don't have to come the whole two. You can come the first 30 minutes. However you want to do, just come. It's open, and we'll still continue with that. Okay, but then we are adding a monthly small group. And I feel like the Lord wants us to go through the book of Revelation. There's actually multiple reasons why I think that is. But we're going to start the book of Revelation. So the second Monday of every month, we'll start meeting in a different home. The first one will be at Amy and I's home. And we'll start Revelation chapter 1. And we'll just go verse by verse, however long we get and however far we get. And we'll just move it around month to month until we go through the whole book of Revelations. And that's what we're going to do. And it does follow along in the vein of seeing him rightly for sure, because if you want to learn who he is, you need to learn the book of the Revelation, because it's the revelation of him. It's not the revelation of bulls and, you know, it's not the revelation of the Antichrist. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And man, we need to read that. And so many people shy away from it because they think it's so hard to read and it's just so metaphorical and some of it's literal and I don't understand. And well, there's a grace right now, I believe, from heaven that is being released on his people to understand the book of Revelations. And we need to take advantage of that grace that's being released. And we need to dive in. It actually even says in the beginning of the book that there's a blessing to those who read this book and not only read it, but keep the words of it, that we keep it in our heart. And he's telling us that for a reason. And we need that. It's so needed in this day and age. Just turn on the news for 5 minutes and you'll see. I said it's also the very book that speaks to the time in history that we are currently living in right now. And there's a grace on it that we need to hear it and learning. And the last reason is for the small group is to really just get rooted in family. And then I'll turn it over to Moses. We have to understand that family is very, very, very important right now. And we have to go deep with one another. Community right now. We have to go in deep with the body of Christ in the kingdom and just get together, tethered together, because we're in this together, okay? We are not called to do this alone. You see a lot of those Lone Rangers out there trying to do all this stuff on their own and they're just not getting anywhere. And if they are, they're exhausted, tired, exasperated, and that's just not the way God called us to do it. He's called me and Angie to have people around us to help us get their leadership and elders and boards and all of that. And we need one another. And there's people in this room here that have ministries themselves that we want to partner with and pull on and use the gifting and the callings in your life so we can better, serve the community that we live in. And that's why we're called together. And that's another reason, because we really do need to go deep. And you kind of see it in the Word of God that you need a home. You need a family that you can call home. You need to be under an authority, under a covering. And you need to learn how to work and operate under a certain authority so God can trust you with certain anointings. If you remember, if you've ever saw that, the seven sons of Sceva, you know that story in Acts 19 where they step out and there were seven and they tried to operate in an anointing, right? And if you read it, they were trying to do things in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And they were totally wrong, but they were out there they were just Lone Rangers. But if you read it, it says they were vagabonds. They were wanderers. They didn't have a home. So they're just going around, wandering around, travelers, and they didn't really have a home. There was nobody there to authority, to call on, to keep them accountable to one another. It was just them going out there, and they tried to do that, and God shows them what happens when that happens. Well, they got tore up, left that town naked and running. And that's what happens. And we want to learn to go deep. Even Cain, what was his curse? Because you did this, Cain, you are going to be a wanderer for the rest of your life on this earth. You have no home anymore. God understands the importance of home and being rooted and going deep with one another and having somewhere where your roots can go and you can connect with somebody and you can call somebody and say, hey, I have it, and we'll come together. That's what we're doing, and that's one of the reasons we're doing these small groups. And then we'll get into that in a little bit more with that, but I don't want to take up any more time. So Moses, if you want to come on up, and we'll want to pray for you, and then we're going to cut you loose, okay? So, Father, I just thank you for Moses. I thank you for his testimony. Lord, I just thank you that it would go out and go forth and do what it's supposed to do, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. And this man has a powerful testimony. I could just hear in the time that I was talking with him, he loves you deeply. His family loves you. So, Father, I just thank you right now for this testimony tonight, his words to go and cut deep and cut between spirit and soul, Lord, and just let us hear it for what it is for, Father. And I just thank you right now, and I bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, brother. All right. Thank you so much. Can we give it up for Pastor Micker? Thank you so much. Well, hey, guys, thank y'all for having me. Thank you for the invite. I like to move around, so if you don't, you know, I like to move around. I like to sit still. I'm just one of those guys. But good to have you guys tonight. Welcome. Good to see you. I got some relatives in here, and they call me uncle, so I'm the unk. And but anyway, first and foremost, I'm here to hopefully give somebody some hope of God's got great plans for us. You know, I was here at Christmas Eve time with my wife. And he's here. The Holy Spirit's here. And so I'm just grateful to be here, guys. Let me just rewind because I'm here to tell my testimony. But I grew up in Northwest Texas. I know you're from Lubbock. I think you said you lived up in Lubbock. Anybody from Northwest Texas, North Texas? Where at?
South
La Mesa. Oh my gosh. Okay. I actually used to work for United Supermarkets. Used to be a manager at United. Yeah. So I'm originally from Vernon, Texas, born and raised, and I'm a redneck Mexican. All right. You got any Mexicans in here? All I see is white people. We need some Mexicans in here. We got one Mexican, two, three Mexicans back here. We got no blacks. Where's my blacks? Ain't no blacks in here? We got a whole harvest in Deer Park, man. Deer Park's starting to get some blacks here. This is good. But anyway, my beautiful wife Lois is here with me tonight. We've been married almost 23 years in about 5 days. What is it, 5 days? 3 days. The 13th, yeah, 23 years. We're still honeymooning, all right, 23 years. So anyway, but some background real quick, guys. I grew up, mom and dad had 10 kids. I'm number 10. Anybody come from a big family? How many, John? You're number 10? Really? Way to go. Same mom and dad. No, that don't count. That's Brady Bunch. Same mom and dad. That Brady Bunch don't count.
Six,
that's pretty good. Seven, that's good.
Nine,
that's good. Seven, okay, good. Anyway, mom and dad didn't have TV, you know? I mean, pastors up here talking about TV and stuff. Mom and dad had no TV. They had to have their own TV, you know what I'm talking about? But I am number 10, and my oldest brother's about 78 years old. My mom's 98. She'll be 99 this year. And praise God for her. And, man, she prayed us in, man, because we were a bunch of, I guess it's okay to say this, we were a bunch of hellraisers, you know, growing up. But I grew up farming. Anybody grew up farming? Farming community? Okay, good stuff. Okay, great. So where'd you grow up at?
Mexico.
Mexico. Okay, good stuff. What part of Mexico?
Tamaulipas.
My dad was born in Aguascalientes. He came over as a child and never went back. My dad went to Oklahoma as close as he could with my grandparents because I don't know if he ever got legalized, you know, and he wouldn't go down even to the border. He's like, we ain't going down there. So anyway, we stayed up close to Oklahoma, and my oldest six brothers, none of them graduated high school, didn't even make it to high school, all right? We were Mexican slaves, all right? We worked on the farm. We didn't own the land. We were sharecroppers, so we were really poor, but my mom, woo, she prayed for us. Right? Wow. This is usually pretty easy to say, but that was a long time ago. But anyway, 16 years old, my mom came home with a job application, says, hey, why don't you go to work in town? And I didn't want to go work in town. I was an introvert. Any introverts in here? Introverts? Okay, good. You raised your hand. That's pretty good. Anyway, and some of y'all ain't going to raise your hand. I'm an introvert. I ain't raised my hand. But I grew up, and I just think the devil wants you to be quiet.
Yes.
When I was here at Christmas Eve, man, you mentioned this, Angie, somebody's got a word, and I had a word for the men, and it's time for the men to rise up. It's time for the men to rise up. You know what I mean? Satan's done a pretty good job keeping the man out of the church, because it's usually women, and we appreciate you ladies, all right? But anyway, long story short, went to work in town at 16, was ready to quit within 2 weeks, because I was really scared to be around people. But I got a paycheck, Pastor, and I'd never seen money before. And I'm like, man, $62. All right, let's go. So I got money motivated. I started making money and started getting promoted and had a good attitude. And found out people are pretty nice. If you say hi to them, they say hi back. And you know, United, it was all customer service. You know, it wasn't like today, but you had to be all customer service back in those days. Kind of like Chick-fil-A. Who likes Chick-fil-A in here, right? And just real good customer service. So after high school, started getting promoted. I think I was 17 or 18. My dad was a drinker, okay, beer, but I never saw my dad drunk. But my oldest six brothers were always wasted. It was a big party. And about our Hispanic culture, for some reason, it's almost like there's a curse on Hispanics with beer, you know. And I know there's a bunch of whites that they're just as jacked up as Mexicans and blacks, so it's not a racial thing, it's a sin thing, right? And so I think I was 17, I started drinking, and really by 19 I was already an alcoholic, didn't even realize it. But my career path was doing this. I was getting promoted. I got married at 21 to my first wife, and I told her, I says, if you like me drinking and you like motocross and water skiing, we'll get married. But if you don't like that, we ain't getting married. So she was like, oh, I love water skiing, and I'm okay with your drinking. And sure enough, by 2 years in, got my first DWI. I think it was probably 1984, and into the rock and roll, into the country and western, and, you know, rap wasn't out yet. But anyway, I got my first DWI, and I think it was 1984, because my wife was pregnant. My first wife was pregnant with my son. And, you know, she bails me out of jail, and you would think that'd be enough. No, within a few days, I'm drinking again, right? And so that went on. I was on probation 2 years, had 2 weeks left of probation, got busted again. Where I was deceived, Pastor, is my career was doing this. I mean, at the job, here's where we're deceived in the job world. You can be a jacked up person as much as you want to. As long as you do your job good, they think that you're just the greatest thing in the world. And I just think today, and tonight, I hope, I encourage you, some of you guys, some of y'all might get mad at me, and I'm okay with that, because Jesus made some people mad. He offended some people, right? And today we live in a world, we don't want to offend nobody. Then don't call yourself a Christian. Because Jesus offended some people, right? I mean, growing up, Pastor, I wanted nothing to do with church, because all the people I knew that were Christians were a bunch of hypocrites. Okay, sorry about that. Anyway, they'd come to United on Sundays, and you know, at groceries business, you got to work every Sunday. So they'd come in there, Angie, and I'd say, good morning, good afternoon. And I knew they just got out of church because they had their church clothes on. You know what church people look like? They got their church clothes on, right? And they'd stick their nose up at me. And I thought, if that's a Christian, I want nothing to do with God or church. So the only time I went to church was for funerals and weddings. I think the coolest thing was ever when my brother got married in the Catholic church. We had a keg party afterwards out back. That was the coolest thing, man. I mean, it was part of the church. We had two kegs. I'm like, that's my kind of church right here, boy. I'm not down on the Catholic church. Okay, I know all Catholic churches don't do that. But anyway, it was fun. But anyway, got my second DWI within 2 weeks of probation. And my first wife says, I'm done. I came home drunk again, 1988, 89, Christmas time. I said, hey, won't you just leave? And she left. And of course, the next day passed. I'm like, come on, Sherry, come on back. We're working. She goes, no, I'm done. 5 years of hell, I'm done. And, you know, I had the house and the boat and the motorcycle and the career people think is all that, but I was empty. So I got divorced, and my world continued to take a downward spiral, going to clubs, chasing women, starting to smoke weed now, and starting to get into a little bit of cocaine and some drugs like that. And my career was doing this. United was flying me to Lubbock and Amarillo, Texas in the corporate jet because I was a workaholic. I tell people all the time, I was a workaholic / alcoholic. I wonder how many people are drunk right now. Right here in Deer Park, drunk as a skunk right now, because I'm stressed. Today they do the wacky tobacco, right? How crazy is that? Well, look, we're going to legalize marijuana because it helps your anxiety. What a lie straight from hell. Your anxiety comes from hell. It's not from stress. Stress is from hell. Anyway, long story short, 1992 comes around, and I'm 29 years old, and I really don't think I'm going to make it to age 30. About to check out. And my phone rings, and believe it or not, guys, y'all remember landlines before cell phones? Y'all remember the little answering machines, the little button, beep? You know, no one ever called, you know? But man, I came home and beep, and some guy comes, hey, Moses, Paul. The guy's name was Paul, of all names. And he goes, I guess you're not in, I'll call you some other time. A few weeks later, Paul, man, this went on for about 3 months. And one Saturday morning, I picked the phone, it was Paul. Whew! He said, hey, Moses, we've never met, but I own a company up here in Wichita Falls. We're expanding business. We're looking for a couple of guys to work with. I heard you got some background in management. Are you looking for opportunity? I said, yes, sir. I had no idea who this guy was. Had no idea. So we sat down for a cup of coffee a few days later, and he started teaching me how to run my own company. I'm thinking, this guy's college educated. He was a place kicker for Oklahoma Sooners, you know, and all this stuff. And his wife, his parents had all kinds of money. And he's a white guy, and he's interested in a Mexican. And I'm high school pushout. And on my 30 to be, I'm thinking, this is kind of strange. He introduced me to his coach. Who's ever seen Top Gun or Maverick, the movie, right? His mentor was a Top Gun pilot. His name was Brock Larson. And he came in, Pastor, into our second or third meeting, and there was something about this guy. Whew. And I couldn't put my finger on it. He lived in San Antonio. I lived in Wichita Falls, which is 5 hours. And he would drive from San Antonio to Wichita Falls and sit down with me. Whew. And he started asking me questions like, what do you want to do with your life, man? What do you want to do in 5 years? What do you want to do? He never asked me, tell me about your past. He never asked me, you ever been in trouble with the law? He never asked me none of that stuff. He says, what do you want to do? He's the first guy, but it was an answer from God. And that man helped me start my company in 1992. Within 6 months, Brock said, Moses, have you ever met a multimillionaire? I said, except the owner of United, right? They're millionaires, the Snell family. I said, other than those guys. He said, listen, I'm going to be in Dallas in a few weeks. In a few months, I'm going to be meeting with my coach and mentor. And they're going to be talking how to become pretty successful in business. This is 1992. So I went to a conference, the Hyatt Regency downtown in Dallas. And it was weird as all get out, guys. It was weird. Friday night, Saturday. Now, here's what I'm thinking. Because I've been to grand openings with United, and it was a party. Because when I go to Lubbock and Amarillo, my supervisor at United, right? Okay, boys, time to go to the clubs. Everybody take it off. Take the ring off, right? Put it in a drawer. We're away working. Now we're going to go party. Those were my supervisors. Tell me about your supervisor at your job. Is he a God-fearing man, a God-fearing woman? Maybe they're a homosexual. Maybe they're a lesbian. My gosh, what world are we living in today? And Christians are scared to death to speak up about the truth. Long story short, Pastor, I'm there Friday night. Everybody is speaking. Every single one of them says, hey, we're not the secret. Come Sunday morning, and Bill's going to give the secret. I had no idea what's going to happen Sunday morning. Well, it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday training. Well, Sunday morning, they had a non-denominational worship service. I had no idea what that was. I'd never heard a non-denominational, and I had never heard worship service. All I heard was, the man's going to teach in 10 minutes how he became a millionaire. I'm there. I went there. My brother Benjamin came with me. My brother Benjamin was a dope-smoking alcoholic like I was. He was in road construction. So we go to this conference, man. We're sitting there. There's about 1,000 people there. And this guy, Bill, comes on stage. And he goes, and I'm thinking, man, 10 minutes. Here we go. Let's go. And we're sitting like the third row. And I got my notepad out, and my brother Benjamin's over here. And my coach is sitting here. Remember, he's a Top Gun pilot. In my eyes, a success, right? So anyway, here we go. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I did graduate high school, but I'm a D student. Now, just so y'all know, D's not for dumb. It stands for dedicated, just saying. Anyway, but so I'm sitting there, and Bill comes on stage, Pastor, and he goes, okay, before I give y'all a secret, who went to college? I thought, there it is, we're toast. Because all my life, who went to college in here? Who graduated college? Raise your hand here. Anybody go to college? Raise your hand. Raise them high. Okay, a lot of you guys, right? So I was always intimidated by people like you. I was always intimidated by people. By the way, I got a scripture from what you just read a while ago. The Lord just gave me that before I wrap up tonight. And he goes, matter of fact, if you went to college and graduated, why don't you stand up? So over 95% of the room stood up. And I'm sitting like a lump on a log, man, just sitting there like, okay. And he looks around, he goes, wow, quite a few of you guys. He goes, if you're broke, please sit down. And they all sat down. Smith's a pilot, aerospace engineer. His wife's a school teacher with a master's degree. They're white people. My Mexican brother here, what's your name?
Sotero.
Sotero. Is that your first name?
Yes, sir.
Sotero. Did we grow up thinking white people are rich?
Yes.
Thank you. See, Lois, I told you. You still think that, see? Hey, now watch this. I'm about to break that curse. Are white people rich?
No.
Thank you. They're just as broke as Mexicans and blacks. Yeah, exactly. So they all sat down. And then he said, one more group. If you got a PhD, stand up. Professor, doctor, all this crap. And they stood up. If you're broke, please sit down. They all sat down. He says, why do I teach you that? And then he pulls out a book. He goes, see, I'm not against college. He goes, but college can only teach you knowledge, how to do something. What you're lacking is wisdom. I had never heard this before in my life. The only time I heard wise was Budweiser. I drink Budweiser, it makes me wiser. Sure. I did tell I had 3 DWIs, right? Did y'all get that? 3. So anyway, Bill opens up this book. He goes, what you're lacking is wisdom. He said, wisdom comes from 2 areas, experience and this book. And he opened up the Word of God. And you're welcome to open up your Bible right now if you want to read this. If you want to open up the Bible, open this. It will bless you if you'll open up that Bible. Praise God you guys got Bibles in the pews. That's the coolest thing. Our pastor, Steve Riggle, he will not put the scripture up there. He goes, I want you to pull your Bible out and read it. Right, Lois? He says, you'll never see me put the scriptures up there because I want you to open it up. Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Who's got it? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Do you got good lungs?
Yes.
Read it out loud.
And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day.
Amen. Notice it doesn't say God has given us the power to create average. Yet so many Christians, I just want to be average. I just want to get by, guys. I just want to pay my bills. See, that's a selfish desire. It's the big I in the word sin, like Pastor Casey Tree taught me 20 years ago. Notice it doesn't say he's given us the power to create poverty. Yet how many Christians are poor? Why? Because they don't tithe. Do y'all realize 95% of Christians don't tithe? I don't know. Pastor, I need prayer because I can't pay my bills. Because you're a God robber. You don't need prayer. You need to be obedient. I didn't tithe for 5 years, guys. I was at John Hagee's church in San Antonio, Texas. And he talked about tithing every Sunday, every Sunday. And I go, Lord, you know I ain't got no money, Lord, but here's $5. He would challenge you. Like he goes, those of you ain't tithing, your car's going to break down on the way home tonight. He'd tell the women, you women are wearing stolen clothes. You took God's money and bought those clothes. Gee whiz. He was hardcore. I remember John Hagee saying this in 1994, 1995. He goes, some of y'all been sitting in the same pew for 23 years and you're going to bust hell wide open. I remember thinking, how does that happen? Come on. Did Jesus not say some of you guys are going to say, Lord, Lord, and I don't know you? Anyway, so back to the story. It's hard for me to stop. Man, I got to talk about that word, man. So anyway, because I didn't know any of it for 35 years. I'm like Todd White, man. You guys ever heard Todd White? Anyway, so that morning, Bill reads that scripture. What was your name, sir?
Sam.
Sam, thank you, Sam. He read that scripture. See, some people go, oh, that's the Old Testament. No, it says, as it is this day. When is this day? Today, January 10th, 2024. This is the year for more in 2024. Who's excited about that? More of God, more breakthroughs, right? And so anyway, guys, then he went to the New Testament. And he did go to Deuteronomy 28, which talks about the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. My name was all over the curses. But boy, when I started reading the blessings, I'm like, man, he'll make you the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. We're supposed to be the lenders, not the borrowers. We weren't supposed to be poor to begin with. I wasn't supposed to be a slave to United Supermarkets. Was there for 15 years, manager. Isn't it crazy? I just want to get promoted. If another man promotes you, he owns you. He is the only one you want to promote you. Because when he promotes you, no man will tear you down. Anyway, let's keep going. So he goes New Testament. He goes, what are the keys of these promises? And he went to the New Testament. You must be born again. I had never heard that before in my life. Did an altar call. Over 500 people got saved. I delayed getting baptized for a whole year. And in 1993, I finally got baptized. Because for a year, Pastor, I had 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the bar. And I would sit in a pew in a small church like this in Vernon, Wichita Falls, and I'd be there just like, I had, you know, we didn't have the internet yet back then. We didn't have what we do today. So all we had was the Bible like we have today. And you know how the pastor go, well, let's turn to chapter 6 of James, blah, 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 blah. And by the time I find it, he's already done reading it. Who's with me on that, right? But eventually you learn that, but you got to apply yourself. It's like Pastor was saying tonight, man, we have to apply ourselves to this. It's not just going to fall out of the sky, right? The Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not the removing of your mind. I'm just waiting on the Lord, Pastor. I'm just waiting on the Lord. How much of the word do you know? Lois told me the other day, she heard that most Christians are spiritually naked. They got the helmet of salvation, but spiritually from the neck down, they're naked. Why? Because they don't know the word. The word is our sword. It's our shield. It's what's going to destroy the works of the devil. So anyway, that morning, guy got saved. A year later, got baptized. All right? And some of you guys are probably putting things off that God wants you to change. What you said tonight, Pastor. He just wants to, he's speaking to you some things you need to change. What needs to be cut off? There's some things, if you don't cut them off this year, you know what's going to happen? 2024 is going to be like 2023 was. And 2022 and 2020. And if we don't change, folks, we're going to remain the same. And remember, the only thing that don't change are things that are dead. And most people don't want to change. And it's sad. I want to keep changing. And so that morning, got saved, got baptized the next year. Been sober 30 years. Thank you, Jesus. And when I came, thank you, Pastor. When I came out of that water, the desire for alcohol was gone. Okay? The desire for smoking cigarettes was gone. The desire for smoking marijuana. The desire for lust. The pornography was gone. I no longer looked at women like, oh, look at that. No, it was gone. It was gone, folks. But then here's what happened, Pastor. Praise God, we didn't have this back then, okay? But there was stuff like billboards that I would get convicted. Because you know how the cigarette companies are and the alcohol companies. What do they always put on a billboard? Some naked woman. Isn't that something? They put a woman up there with a bikini smoking a Marlboro Light or something. Satan knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And I remember driving down the road, Pastor, and I could see it on the peripheral, and the Holy Spirit says, don't look. And I would slip and just look. I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm sorry. But over being sensitive to the Holy Spirit like that, it completely left. So I was single for many years. I wasn't even didn't date any women. My prayer was that if I'm supposed to be married, God will bring me a wife. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's added to you? Some things? What's all? Everything. Who's believing for some things this year from the Lord? Okay? All you got to do is Matthew 6:33. Seek first. Now, y'all are the choir. Hey, y'all are here tonight on a Wednesday night. Give it up. Give yourselves a hand real quick. Give yourselves a hand. All right? All right? Yeah. Hey, now listen. Let's give it up a little bit. Okay? I know some of you guys, but when you were in the club, okay, who's into sports? Who likes sports? Okay, cool. Okay. Who's a Cowboy fan? Dallas Cowboy fan. Okay, cool. Any Houston Texan fans? Okay. Astros fan. Okay. Okay, cool. Just pretend you're at a game. Y'all with me? Okay. So I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. Just give it up real good for Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Oh, Jesus! And that's the word I felt that morning, guys, when I was here at Christmas Eve. Is that I want to pray for you guys because Pastor can't do this by himself. We are the body of Christ. Grace Church started with 7 people. Now it's thousands upon thousands and hundreds of churches around the world. And Pastor Steve tells us, Pastor Micker, that he says, me and Becky could really only believe for about 200 members. We had no idea. But when you go all in, he goes all in. John Hagin used to say, if the Lord is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all.
That's right.
And you know what most Christians are? I'm 99.99999% for Jesus. Well, it's that 0.00001 is going to kill you. And that's what Satan does. And you're right, sister. What he just said, what you said last week when he said that. If you plan to fail, you fail the plan. I haven't had cable television for 30 years. Why? Because we're chasing purpose. We're living an adventure. There's souls to be saved. I'm not against you if you're on cable, but watch this. My mentor told me this. He says, Moses, you know who needs television? People with no dream, no vision. Because their life is, okay, I get up in the morning, I go to work, do my little thing at work, do my 18 hours, and I come back home, and I do exactly what my dad did, my grandpa did, and watch the TV. That's why it's called television, because you don't have a vision. And the Bible says, man without vision shall perish. A lot of people are dead, folks. We're not supposed to be dead. We're supposed to be alive. We're supposed to be setting the captives free. I'm 60 years old. My flesh is 60 years old, but my spirit's 30. All right? So it don't matter how old your flesh is. If you got born again this last year, you're 1 year old. All right? It don't matter. God's not done with you yet. That's the word for you. Now, here's the scripture that the pastor, as you read this, and I'll kind of wrap up here. I like what my mentor said. I'm not out of information. I'm just out of time. But here we go. It's 1 Corinthians. It's where he was a while ago, and here's the word. I went down a few verses, and he was in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it's verse 18, if you guys want to go there. And it's called Avoid Worldly Wisdom. And this, I believe this word here is for somebody. Verse 18 says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. Verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. See, the world glorifies PhDs and master's degrees, and you're an engineer, and you're a yeah. You know what God says? If you don't know him, you're a fool. All my life, I put people on the pedestal because they were educated or they were white, right, my brother Meskin, right? And Jesus says, that's not how I look at people. If you don't know me, you're a fool. So we just have to humble ourselves, guys, because God's got a great plan for us. I have, you know, hey, man, Abraham, how old was Abraham when he was promised a son? He got the promise at 70, but the promise came at 100. Right? And I just found this out today. They named his son Isaac. Do y'all know the definition of Isaac? Say it again. Laughter. It meant laughter because it's like, dude, it happened. Isaac. I just learned that today. I'm like, what the heck? Isaac is laughter because that's what Sarah did, right? Can you imagine being 75 years old? Your husband comes home and says, hey, you're going to have a baby. Are you kidding me? He's got a great plan. Hey, Miles Monroe says, don't let them bury you before you're dead. Don't let the world bury you. Well, Moses, I'm 76 now, you know. I'm just trying to... Come on, man. Life and death are where? Oh, really? It's not the power. It's not in the devil's hands? No, it's in your own tongue. And if you're speaking, well, you know, I'm just trying to get by, man. Just trying to survive. That's what's going to happen to you. So that's exactly what's going to happen. We got to get this word inside of us, folks. Don't let the world program you for Dexter Yeager said a long time ago, he passed away last year, he impacted millions of people. He said, when I allowed the world to come into me, it destroyed me. I had to learn to work from the inside out. How do you do that? Put the word in, put the word in, put the word in, and let it come out. Jesus says the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray for laborers for the harvest. This is the smallest a Wednesday night should ever be. Because, folks, y'all are the church. The disciples, not pastor and his wife, it's us. They're in the marketplace. They're lost everywhere. They're all over the place. They don't even know if they're men anymore. Men trying to be women, women trying to be men. And if that's not enough, well, let's just become a transgender. Let's just do that. How crazy is this? And they're teaching this in our public school system. I hear people all the time, I love Deer Park schools. Really? It's jacked up. Sarah, Joseph, when Joseph was a freshman or a sophomore, this is a long time ago because Joseph's 32 now. Lois had to give him a ride to school one day, and he was wearing sandals, cut-off shorts, and a T-shirt. And Lois says, man, we'd have never gotten away dressed like this to Deer Park schools. And you know what Joseph said? This is what year did he graduate? 2000 what? No, not, anyway, he's 32 now. Do the math. Long time ago. All right? Who cares? Details. Anyway, and you know what Joseph told his mom? Yeah, mom, it's a different day today. You probably never walked down the hallway and saw two girls making out. See, because when we went to school, the challenge you had was smoking cigarettes out back. Maybe chewing gum in class. But look at it today. See, we're being boiled, folks. You guys know how to boil a frog? Okay, what do you do? Just boil the water and throw the frog in there? No, you put them in there where it's cool, right? And you turn the flame slowly but surely. And see, that's what Satan's doing with a lot of Christians. Hey, wait till tomorrow. You don't need to talk to people about Jesus today. Wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes, folks. It's like that. It's like that. Who likes the Rocky movies? You saw any Rocky movies, right? It's like Apollo Creed when he was training Rocky. Rocky was scared. Let's do it tomorrow. What did Apollo say? There ain't no tomorrow. There ain't no tomorrow, folks. Listen, let me ask you this. I asked Lois this the other day. Lois, if this is the last day we lived on the stinking earth, did we do everything we need to do for Jesus? Because we just had a woman at our house 2 months ago, Pastor. Not a real close friend, but we've known her for a couple years. She came over, her daughter. We had dinner with her. Great time, man. She's, man, just talking about the Lord on fire. And literally 6 days later, she passed away at 49 years old in her sleep. Folks, we're not promised tomorrow. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians, what? Make the most of every moment because the days are evil. And that was then. How evil are they today? There is no time to be lukewarm. What did Jesus say? Be hot or be cold, but don't be lukewarm because I will spew you out of my mouth. That's in Revelation. That's it. I guess my time's over. That's in Revelation. I want to be white hot. I want people to call me crazy. Yes. I want people to say, that guy's a nut. Praise God. Because I don't want to be average like you going nowhere. Yes. Well, I don't want to offend nobody, brother. What if they laugh at me? What if they say thank you? Yes. There's people appointed for you to lead, folks. And they're not going to know Jesus, and it's going to happen tonight or tomorrow in the stinking grocery store when you're right there at the produce aisle, and there's a young man or young woman who's contemplating suicide. Suicide. 50,000 suicides in 2022. 50,000! Why? Because nobody's talking to them about Jesus. Because our Christianity is what? Well, let's go to church, Pastor. It's Sunday. And if it's 12 o'clock, we're looking at a clock going, hey, what's time is over, man? The Astros are playing at 1. If you're more excited about the Astros and the Cowboys, you got a problem. You got some idols that you need to get out of your life. Hey, I'm a Cowboy fan big time. But nothing comes between me and my relationship with God, my relationship with my wife, and you. Hey, we're all accounted for each other. Hey, you know what? God's going to hold me accountable for what you're hearing tonight. But here's the bad news. He's going to hold you accountable too for what you say.
Amen.
Hello? It's not just the pastor. For those of you guys judging the pastor, man, why is he wearing that shirt again? He wore that shirt last week. Why is he wearing those tennis shoes? Hey, can I just encourage you guys about something? And then I'm going to wrap up with a prayer. I'm going to pass it back over to him. We need to be, is this a Baptist church? Can I ask y'all a question? Why are we acting like Baptists? I mean, where's my sister right here? What's your name again?
Barbara.
Yeah, Barbara was sitting behind me last time I was here, and she goes, man, you're fired up. I said, it's about Jesus. We're supposed to be fired up. You're excited about Deer Park playing LaPorte for a stupid football game that means absolutely nothing. Oh, come on, Deer Park. Are you kidding me? Excited about some stupid basketball game? Give me a break. Okay, I'm going to pray and I'm out of here. All right, let's pray. I'm going to pass it over. Can y'all stand up, please? And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pass it over to Pastor. Father God, thank you again for tonight. I pray that these words have touched somebody tonight. Father God, we are here for your glory and not our glory. Thank you for this church and his presence, Lord, in your presence. And like that song said tonight, Lord, I love that song, but you are God Almighty. We don't have to ask, are you God Almighty? You are God Almighty. And there is none like you. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I ask you, Lord, to bring in the laborers to this church. The men rise up, Lord, to be counted, Father God, and the women to get behind their husbands and their children and these teenagers that are here tonight, that they would feel your Holy Spirit, Lord, and to go into their schools and to go to these universities and change the universities, Lord, and to create a revival in the schools and the universities, Father God, that thousands would come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.
Give me a hug. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you so much.
See, I wasn't lying. Y'all thought I was lying, huh? He wrecked me in that 15 minutes during that day. And I said, man, you got to come. What a blessing. And you know what I noticed about him? Joy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How many Christians you know that are depressed and stressed and just don't have no joy? It's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord that's your strength. The joy of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And you can tell that he knows exactly what we've been talking about here. He's not preaching from a place where, hallelujah, I'm just not going to hell. Right? It's not about what I got saved from. He understands what he got saved into. That's what we're talking about. Let's talk about what we're saved into. We've talked about long enough hell, fire, brimstone. Thank God. Okay. Just Lord, we're sinners saved by grace. Thank Lord. We're just making it in. Thank you, man. But what about what we're saved into? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the authority that we're given. Let's talk about the health that we have now. Let's talk about the inheritance that's waiting on us right now. Let's talk about being like Jesus on the earth as he is. And that's what's supposed to get you excited, because we're talking about just barely, thank God we're not going to hell. Okay, great. I was a sinner saved by grace for that long. And then I was no more. Because now that I'm saved, I'm a son. I am a son of the living God. And that should get you excited. And that's exactly what he's preaching, exactly what we're looking to do. To get excited about this. To get excited, because the more we look like that, the more the world is going to say, I want what you got. I want what you got. I need what you got. How come you're always happy? How come you're never stressed out? How come you're never you're never in fear like the rest of us? You don't care. No, absolutely no. But that's garbage. God is in charge of my life, and he can do the same for you. And then they'll come looking for you to say, hey man, whatever it is you have, whatever I want that. And then witnessing becomes easy. Just fish jumping in the boat. Amen. So thank you, Moses. That was awesome. That was hilarious. That was awesome. Okay. So yes, Tino. Yeah, Frankie? Uh-huh. Okay.
He was in the hospital. He said he had a terrible pain from kidneys.
Okay.
He had kidney stone, and he only had the only thing that was unbearable.
Yeah.
So he drove himself to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And I called him right before we got here. And he said, they ran his dad, and he was going to work. I think we had to do it.
Come on.
You see what happens when you start actually believing what's written in that book, that we actually have the authority? Wait, the power lies with us? We have the power to change situations and we're not just locked into them because? Wow. Okay. And we can actually start believing this stuff that he said is true. We can actually have what he says I can have. And then look what it does. Look, man, this stuff changes lives. And it's not about, I'm so glad you touched on there's a lost and dying world out there, because this thing needs to leave the building. And you'd be surprised, those of you who might be shy to witness and all the stuff that's going on out there, you'd be surprised. I was surprised when, it's funny, Todd White changed my entire life. When I started listening to Todd White, I don't even know, Mom, 10 years ago, a long time ago, he changed my whole paradigm. I was like, I've been looking at church wrong all along. That's the church. We actually supposed to go and do this out there. I had no idea. I started praying for everybody. And it shocked me, because I was ready for the turn down. You're crazy. Get out of my face. Get out of here, Christian, whatever. No. Everybody. You want to pray for me? Yeah, absolutely. All day long they were saying yes. Because they're looking for this. They're looking for something. And they're wanting it to be true. Because they're needing something to have hope in. And they're just believing, my God, if this is actually true, oh my gosh. And it's so easy. And you start really seeing people. And you stop seeing them for people that are in your way that are annoying you. You start seeing them for people that they need a touch from the Lord. They need a touch from the Lord. They need Jesus. They need the Lord. He needs a healing. He needs deliverance. And when you start reaching out with this hope, all of a sudden they'll start drawing on it. Yes, please pray for me. And it's just amazing. There's a girl I witnessed to in Lowe's that I saw just the other day. I was telling you, I ran into her every time I go in there. She's works in the paint bar. She's got red hair, and her name is Ziggy is her nickname. And so months ago, I just was sitting there waiting for paint, and the Lord said, pray for her. It's okay. She came over and said, hey, so you don't have to make it weird. You can just bring it up. Like, how you been? Is everything okay? Hey, do you go to church anywhere? You know, just make it natural, you know? And man, she started pouring her heart out to me. I'm telling you, she was pulling on me and she was telling me her life story. Well, I did grow up in church and I got away from it. Then I started dating this guy and he started pulling me away from church. And I felt so bad about that. But now it's been 2 years and I really feel like I need to leave him because he's keeping me from church and I'm trying to get back in. And dude, there was two other people waiting for paint over there. And she was like, and so. And then I said, well, can we pray? And she's like, absolutely. She was like, and now every time I go in there, she just the other day, I hadn't seen her. She took a month off and I was wondering where she was. And I went in there just the other day and she was talking. It was so funny. She was talking to another worker because she hadn't been there in a long time. And I'm just walking down the hall. She cut that girl off mid-sentence. Hey, where have you been? What's going on? And it got awkward because that girl was just like, okay, I would just, and she finally, it just got so, she just walked off. I felt so bad. But she was like, where have you been? What's going on? How are you? Hey, you're still at the church. And she was lit up. She wanted to talk about Jesus. And if you don't obey the Lord, you're walking by people like that all day long, just walking by them all day long. And they need you. You are the ones, God uses people. He uses his people to do that. Okay, so this is back when I was crazy about praying for people all the time. I mean, I still am, but I used to go on mission trips. Like, we're going to Walmart, okay? You know? So I told my wife, order me a shirt that says need prayer. So then you don't have to spark a conversation. They'll come to you because they'll see your shirt. And I was like, I wonder if this was going to work. So first day I worked to church one morning, and we used to go, because we were crazy, we didn't know any better. We would go to HEB Sunday after church. That's when we did our grocery shopping. We've learned, okay? So it was Sunday after church. I had my shirt on, and literally, you know how HEB is here to park. You walk right in there, and your produce is right there. I mean, we walked in, and a guy walked up. Are you serious? Are you being serious? Are you praying for me right now? And we ripped it off right there in the produce. Him and his wife both. Thank you, Jesus. He was a youth pastor. Remember? And he goes, we're trying to make a decision right now. We got some things going. And I saw your shirt, and I know that's the Lord right there in the produce. Got around to the other side of the produce. Somebody else, are you serious? Would you pray for me? Got around on the other side, prayed for somebody else, and then I prayed for a worker. Like five people in that one HEB trip because two words. You need prayer? Listen, the world will respond. The world will respond. You got to open your mouth. You have to open your mouth. Don't be like me before I knew the Lord, or when I wasn't serving the Lord, where when I would go into the grocery store, now you're just in my way. You're just get out of my way. I'm in a hurry. You're making me late. I'm looking for the shortest line. Being rude. Get out. Don't bug me. You know, I don't want to look at anybody. Don't make eye contact. That's how I was. When we would go in, you go over there. I'll go over here. Let's get out. Now you can walk in and be like, Lord, who do you want to talk to? Who do you want to touch? You bring somebody to me in my path, and I will talk to them for you because I'm on your time. This is not my time. This is your time. And there's people in there that need a touch. And if you would just open your heart a little bit, he will oh my gosh, he will use you in a way that you never dreamed possible. I'm telling you, and this is the time. This is why we come to church. This is why we're getting trained and equipped for that very thing. Amen? Amen. If y'all want to stand, we'll pray. Father, we just love you so much. And it's like Moses said, this is the radical bunch. This is the radical. When you come on Wednesday, you're radical, okay? So, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for sending us people like Moses to come in and get us fired up and just teach us, man, that we need this thing. It's okay to be fired up about Jesus. In fact, it's better to be. And, Lord, that just revitalizes us to know that we can have the joy of the Lord and we can have these things and we can be revitalized and love the Lord and love people at the same time. And Father, I just thank you that that's what you're teaching us, that this year, that we can go into this year knowing that what the things that you have for us, oh my goodness, we never dreamed about. We couldn't imagine the things that you have for us. And we're going to lean in and we're going to do the things. We're going to pay the price on our end. We are. We're going to do what we're called to do. We're going to be a people, like Angie said last night, we are a people of prayer and fasting. We are a people of his presence. We are a people that lean in and go deep in the word. That we are founded and just locked into the word. And just, Father, we're just going deep in family and community, and we're going to do everything that we need to do because we know you always do your part. You're going to show up in a way that we've never seen before. And Lord, we are going to be right smack in the middle of it. We're going to be right in the middle of that Ezekiel 47 river, and the water's going to be over our head, and we are going to be madly in love with you, Father. And I just thank you for everything you're doing here, everything you're doing. Just send us whoever you want here, and we will disciple them up. We'll raise them up. We'll point them to you and let them go burn. Let them burn for you. So, Father, we just thank you. I bless Moses and Lois and his whole family and them at Grace and Steve and them. Man, I just thank you for the word that you put in his heart all those years ago, and that they're raising up all these thousands of people all over the state, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. If anybody needs prayer, we are available for you. Love you.